Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you today, and we're so glad that you're with us on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And we have come and gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is here with us in our midst. So we extend our welcome to the Lord today in this place. And it's the place where we come to praise and pray and hear God's word. And so we'll continue on a little bit later on with our series, as we've been talking about wisdom for living through the book of Proverbs. And so as we begin our worship today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship this morning. Come in from busy summertime days.
We come to connect with God's presence.
Come in from the stress of everyday life.
We come into the light of God's wisdom.
Come into worship with offerings of praise.
We come to sing God's praise together.
Well, let's join together and do that. Victory in Jesus, hymn number 430, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning, all three verses today.
I heard an old story from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Of his precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Savior for let's join together there for our opening prayer. God of wisdom, you are light for our minds, strength for our service, and rest for our bodies. Nourish us with your word so we grow in Christ and be rooted in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we can turn to our next hymn there, 524. It is Well With My Soul. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're doing all three verses. Children, if they would come down this morning.
There's an inner you, an inner person, and Paul, herself all the time in his writings. And today, in our proverb, you can see, look what it says, the human spirit sustains a sick person, but who can bear a broken spirit? What do you think that means? What is the human spirit? Well, that would be the inward spirit, the inward you. What do you think? How can the inward you sustain you when you're sick? Have you ever been so sick you felt like giving up? Where you just ache and hurt and you just don't want to go on? That's what we're talking about. But somehow you keep going on, don't you? You don't give up, whether you're in pain, whether you're hurting, you don't feel good. Thank God for the doctors that give us medicine or do things that help us to feel better. Thank God for God's healing touch that can give us strength. But there's that which keeps us going when we face outward circumstances. Our bodies hurt, we're in pain, somebody said something to us that just hurt us so bad and we can't stop thinking about it. She says, I'm ugly. She says, I'm whatever. Or he said, that's mean old boy at school. And sometimes those words hurt, don't they? They can't they? Especially if it's a friend or someone you thought was a friend. But how do you keep going? How do you not give up? It's that inward person. And a little bit later on when I talk to the adults, the key to that is being strong inwardly. Sometimes people refer to it as determination. Boy, that person's got a lot of determination. They don't give up. They don't quit. They keep going. Perseverance. They keep persevering. And Paul in Ephesians prays for the Christians at Ephesus and says, I've been praying that you will be strong inside so that we don't give up. We keep going no matter what we're facing on the outside. And that's because God gives us that strength on the inside. Because God is with us no matter what. All right? Okay, you can go on downstairs. I am not sure. Oh, Miss Carrie's got your name.
Yes. And as we go to prayer, as they head out, I want to somehow get all these crosses out here.
And I'm going to invite some of you to come up here in a moment. And it's going to be a mess. I almost thought I need to get a tray or something to put these all on. And I'm just going to ask those of you that maybe come up to do your best to try to put some oil on, anointing oil on all of these as best you can. And we'll pray over those in a little bit here. And so we'll just kind of leave that at that.
But then I started to think, if I have a tray, it's going to be making a lot of noise during prayer time. So as we go to prayer, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Somebody. Yes. Unspoken. Someone else. I saw another. Yep. What is his name?
She didn't give me one.
Okay.
Gustavus.
Is it?
Gustavus, yes.
Okay.
And Trevor is bleeding from his lung.
Is what?
His lung. He's bleeding from his lung.
Okay.
And my cousin in Texas, her granddaughter Jennifer, she has double dystrophy and she has a lot of trouble. Body and her muscles are mostly gone, and now her head, she can't raise her head anymore.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. Okay, so we got Mr. Gustin, I'm assuming, and we'll leave it at that. Trevor with a bleeding lung, and Jennifer this morning with these issues going on with losing body control and other things, and appreciate your prayers for them. Somebody else, yes.
I just want to say, anybody know anything about Annette Worley? She's in a bit for it this morning, and I didn't know she'd been sick or anything. In Cass County, she's from Cass
County. Annette?
Annette Worley.
I'm not familiar with her.
Steve Worley's wife.
Okay, well, let's lift up Annette this morning and asking God's touch upon her.
She passed away.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did not know that. Okay, wow. So we want to remember the Whirling family. Others, yes.
I just found out an old co-worker of mine who worked at Crane passed away, named Carter.
Oh.
So, the Carter family.
Yeah, so we want to remember the Carter family in our prayers. And with that loss of that loved one, yeah.
Brother Mike needs one more Sunday.
We can definitely do that. Yeah, asking God's touch upon him for Mike there. Someone else, yes.
My foot is healing.
That's good, and we thank God for that. Yes, that's always kind of scary when we get prayer requests for your other leg, and yeah, worries me a little anyways, I should say. But yes, thank God. Other hands, yes. I did not, and usually I pick up, I'm just being honest, usually I pick up on that, and I was a little distracted about something in my head, and I don't want to get into all that, and that's why I was having to keep close on the lines of the song, too, but yes, that is one of my favorites, and I know it's one of Carla's favorites, too. And, but yes, thank you for sharing that. Somebody else, yes.
Yeah, James of Gaul had a hematoma, which is bleeding, and they have her up for 48 hours for life, and I don't know what the long-term is going to be of that.
Is she still in the hospital?
No.
She's home now? Okay, so let me make sure I have you. You mentioned Jean, and you said Dennis again, right?
Dennis Fox.
Okay, and was it Joyce?
Joyce Fry. It was Karen's sister.
Ah, yes.
Karen's sister, yes.
And was the last one Bradley?
No, Riley.
Oh, Riley. Okay. Okay, so we have all of those to lift up also this morning. Someone else, yes.
As you mentioned, she mentioned Dennis. It reminded me of Dennis Perkins, youngest son. His feet cleared up, but now he's fighting his knee, and he's found out he's probably going to have a knee replacement.
Okay. So we want to remember Dennis there also. Somebody else. Did I see?
He had a wonderful Bible school.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
A lot of crafts, wonderful crafts, a lot of good food, wild children. He was great.
Yes, it did. And I, you know what? I forgot. I was going to say something during announcements, and I forgot. It was on the PowerPoint. But I wanted to thank everybody, especially all of our adults that stepped up and led in so many different ways in the different areas of ministry for the VBS this week. And then our young people that helped out also. Some of our older kids came out and helped with the younger kids. And we appreciated all of that. And it was a wonderful 2 days with the kids. Somebody else, I thought I saw another hand. Yeah. Who was it?
Skip.
Okay.
And Daryl talked about him on Friday, and he's tried to call him since then and hasn't been able to get a hold of him, so I don't know if he's still in the hospital.
You're Daryl?
Yeah, I'm Daryl.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
No, Daryl called Skip.
Daryl called Skip.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so. Okay. Yep, I got it now. Somebody else. Did I see it? I thought I saw another hand. Okay. So lots of different names to lift up in prayer. We want to continue to lift up Lester, who Brad has been asking about, and on our list there, and those on our monthly list. And so if some of these names arise in your head, I just invite you to lift them up to the Lord as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. And if you'd like to come up, you may, for the anointing. We are just so grateful today for that you do reign. As Carla was just playing that, our God reigns. We are so thankful that when life seems out of hand and chaotic, that you are the one who reigns today. And so we lift up the names of those that have been mentioned today. We think of Riley and Joyce and Dennis and Jean and Mike and Mr. Gustin and Trevor and Jennifer and Dennis and Skip today. We lift up each one of those today, asking for your healing touch, your healing grace, your presence to be with each of them today. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we lift up the Whirling family and the Carter family with the loss of these loved ones. We just ask for your peace and your comfort and your grace to be with them during this time. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we lift up these unspoken need today that was mentioned, or maybe anybody else. And we just ask for your presence to be real, and that you would minister as only you can do today. And Lord, we also pray over all of these that have come down this morning, and we just pray for your touch for each of these, and we're thankful today as we send these forth, these crosses and these boxes, that not only will they be a blessing, but that that they would speak and show your love to these men and women that are serving here at home and around the world, God, and may it be a source of encouragement and a light into their minds, O Lord, and we thank you for that. But also let it be a sense of your presence, that you are with them and that others are thinking of them during this time. And whether they are at home or some may be overseas in difficult situations, and we pray that wisdom and guidance will be with them in all that they face in the months and years ahead. And we thank you for each one of these soldiers, and let these foxes be a blessing to them as we send them all forth in the name of Jesus. And we're grateful and thankful for that. And Lord, we just ask your continued blessing on this service, Lord. Thank you for your presence that is here today. Thank you that your love is being extended into this place right now. And that no matter what we're going through, it is your love that sustains us and your spirit that strengthens us. And Lord, I pray, as Paul did in Ephesians 3, that we, each one that is here today, would be strengthened in their inner person, who they are on the inside, that will sustain them through all difficult and trying circumstances on the outside. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we continue to lift up each one on our monthly list, God. So many of them we've been praying for. We ask that you would just continue to bring your healing touch, your source of comfort and strength to all of them. And we ask your blessing upon the rest of this service, Lord, today, that you would extend your presence and grace to us as we break the bread of your word and continue to learn of your ways and the wisdom that you have for us. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining with us, and thank you for those that came up during this time of anointing the crosses. And so now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that God is the one who provides, as we talked about last week, the one who gives us the ability to create wealth and be a blessing and use that to bring life into people's lives. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Thank you. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. God of growth, may our offering be a light to the world. Multiply our gifts through your love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from a bunch of passages again. And as we've looked at here and there, we're going to be looking at several Proverbs there from the book of Proverbs. And then we're going to look at two other passages. One is just one verse out of Psalm 34. And then we're going to read a little bit of Paul's prayer. I shortened it. It's longer if you read through the Ephesians 3 passage, but I wanted to catch the gist of what I wanted to focus on this morning from that passage there in Ephesians 3. So let's begin there. Anxiety leads to depression, but a good word encourages. Hope delayed makes the heart sick. Longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The heart knows its own distress. Another person can't share its joy. A peaceful mind gives life to the body, but jealousy rots the bones. A joyful heart brightens one's face, but a troubled heart breaks the spirit. The faithless run away, even though no one pursues them. But the faithful are as confident as a lion. The human spirit sustains a sick person, but who can bear a broken spirit? Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. So then I ask you not to become discouraged by what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or in earth is recognized by Him. I ask that He will strengthen you in your inner selves for the riches of His glory through the Spirit. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. I know you know this one. I'll share it. It's been a little while, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. A burglar broke into a house one night. He shined his flashlight around looking for valuables. When he picked up a CD player, he stuffed it in his sack. All of a sudden, a strange disembodied voice echoed from the dark saying, "Jesus is watching you." Well, he nearly jumped out of his skin. Clicked his flashlight off and froze for a moment. He thought somebody was there. When he heard nothing more after a bit, he shook his head, promised himself a vacation after his next big score. Then he clicked his light on and began searching for more valuables. Just as he pulled the stereo out and started disconnecting the wires, as clear as a bell, again, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." Freaked out, he shined his light around frantically, looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, he flashed the beam of light that came and rested upon a parrot. "Did you say that?" He kind of spit it out at the parrot. "Yep," the parrot confessed. Then he squawked. "I'm just trying to warn you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Well, who in the world are you?" "Moses," replied the bird. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of people would name their bird Moses? The kind of people that would name their Rottweiler Jesus."
I
Well, we are continuing our series on wisdom from living, or for living, from the book of Proverbs. Last week, we looked at the two sides of wealth or money. We considered the destructive side of wealth and money, and we looked at the blessing side of wealth and money. Today, I want to talk to you about the importance of the inner self. We're going to talk and consider the powerful and conflicting nature of our inner selves. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding and dealing with the very deep, conflicting, confusing, but powerful and sometimes warring dynamic of our inner selves. And hopefully, through this process, we will gain some wisdom of the importance of the inner self this morning. So we're going to look at this in two ways. First of all, we're going to look a little bit at the way outside influences affect our inward self. And then we're going to talk about how important that inward self is and what we can do to strengthen it. So let's begin by looking at the complexities, is the term I use there, the complexities of the inner selves. And our inner being can be affected in a variety of ways. And Proverbs talks about these various ways. Some of these I did not realize before until I did further study through this. And I'm going to kind of hit them real quick because I think there's, what, six of them or whatever. If you have your sermon outline, you know exactly how many of them. First of all, there are physical aspects to our inner being. Look at chapter 14, verse 30. A healthy heart is life for the flesh, but passion, envy, anger, jealousy, zeal is rot to the bones. What's that saying there? That's saying that negative emotions, if we're not careful, negative emotions can affect our inward self. But a peace-filled mind or a healing mind can bring life and strength to us, even our very physical bodies. Think about this for a moment. If we're not sleeping well, if we're not eating right, if we have a chemical imbalance in our brain, all of those things can affect who we are on the inside of us in various ways. And so there's dangers there that we have to look out for. So physical aspects. There are emotional aspects to our inner being. You might say emotional or relational aspects. The very first verse we read from our scripture reading this morning. Anxiety leads to depression, but a good word encourages. You know, when I was looking at that verse this week, I'm like, well, no wonder Jesus spent 5 or 6 verses on the Sermon on the Mount talking about do not worry. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. You know, if we're worrying about tomorrow, we're not taking care of ourselves today. You know, when anxiety strikes, the proverb seems to imply that it can weigh down and bring us low on the inwardly. Have you ever been brought down low? Have you ever felt weighed down on the inside? And in the same teachings there on the Sermon on the Mount, that's where he gave those famous words where he says, you know, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is light. It's not heavy. It doesn't weigh us down. And when anxiety strikes, it brings us down. But a timely word, a timely word of good news, of positive message, is just what the doctor orders. Sometimes we just need a good shoulder to lean on. Sometimes we just need a hug. Jody sometimes will say, I need a hug. or a good word that will help us. Emotional aspects. There are ethical aspects to our inner being. Chapter 28, verse 1. The faithless flee when there's no one pursuing them. When I first read this week, I was like, what in the world is going on there? To me, it sounded like some kind of paranoia. Here it is, this person who's fleeing when there's nobody chasing him or her. What is that? But the faithful are as confident or as bold as the old language, as lions. Well, in that proverb, there is the idea of an expression that is only found one other time in the Hebrew Bible, and that's in Leviticus. Now, that's a book that none of us really like to read through because it deals with a lot of stuff. But in that passage where that expression appears, deals with going off course from God's way, and guilt ensues or is the result. And I think what this proverb is saying is a guilty conscience can affect our inward selves. It's like our inner self is kicking against our inner guilty conscience. Have you ever felt guilty about something? Okay, I'm going to share a story. I think I used this once in illustration. I'm going to tell on myself. I was probably about 10 or 12, somewhere in there, and we went over to one of Dad's customers, big, huge chicken and turkey farm over in Mercer County around Salina. And Dad was over there showing them slides of their trip to Europe on the farming tour, you know, and they were good friends with them. And all of us kids were all playing together. Well, they had some kind of game that had paper money. You know, we think of Monopoly, but it wasn't Monopoly. And this looked real. Well, guess what I did? Now I'm going to confess here. I took some of it home with me without asking. About 2 hours after we got home, I felt so guilty. Instead of telling my dad, I went down about, I don't know how far, it wasn't that far, probably here to the road, to the creek in the back of our house, and I threw that money into the creek. And I said, I'm sorry, God, that I stole that money. I had a guilty conscience about that. You know, some people live with a guilty conscience, and it eats away at them on the inside. And that's what I said. Sometimes that inward guilty conscience is kicking away at us on the inside, and our inner spirit is like kicking back and saying, make it right, because guilt can lead to insecurities. But faithfulness brings this inner confidence like lions possess. Next one, and I know this is kind of a big term, but next one are existential aspects to our inner being. These are the kind of things that happen in life that we just have no control over. Look what it says in 14:13. The heart feels pain even in laughter, and in the end, joy turns to sorrow. Now, what does that mean? Here's what I think it means. Life-altering events that happen to us can affect our inner spirits, our inward selves. Everybody at one time or another is going to face life-altering situations. Whether it's a loved one that passes away, whether our passions for life fade, whether our health declines, whether someone we love dearly rejects us and leaves, hurt, grief, pain, death, these are the kind of life-altering things that can damage our inward nature if we're not careful and cause us to despair. And if we don't deal with it in the right way, can leave this sense of meaninglessness within us, where we just feel like there's no reason to go on anymore. And if we don't have a strong inner spirit to help us face those times in life, it's hard to carry on. Existential. Sometimes you hear people say, it's an existential crisis that they're facing. That's what we mean there. Some life-altering, changing, challenging situation. And then, this should not surprise us, there are faith aspects to our inner being there. 13:12, hope delayed makes the heart sick. Longing fulfilled is a tree of life. 14:10, the heart knows its own distress. Another person can't share its joy. What is all that kind of talking about there? We are going to face times in life where what we were hoping for has not come to pass. What we were praying for does not come about. I could spend time talking about one of them that happened in my life that I so badly wanted, but God just kept nudging. No, I don't want you to go in that direction. I want you to go in this direction. And I struggled for a long time with that. But faith in God affects our inner selves. And nothing can take the place of our trust in God when we face times where our hopes are dashed. Or we're facing a distress in our lives that nobody else can fully understand what we're going through. That's why the poet says another person can't share and what you're facing at that time, even when something changes and there's joy there. All other substitutes for trust in God may only leave us broken or crushed. In other words, we can put our trust in a person. We can put our trust in our spouse. We can put our trust in our children. We can put our trust in a coworker. But guess what? They'll all let us down at one time or another. All substitutes may only leave us broken or crushed in spirit. You know, when I was writing those words, I said, like a country music song. Nobody gets that, do you? I used to joke, somebody'd say, do you like country music? Nope. Why not? Because it's all gloom, despair, and agony on me. Now, I'm not saying that that's totally true. We know there's different types of country music today. But when I was growing up, that's all it was. Depression, divorce, and what was the other one that I used to think of? Depression, divorce, and I don't know. Drinking. I don't know. But by contrast, the vast resources of God's grace give us help to handle these complexities, including hope, which is alluded at in this proverb, or those proverbs, wisdom, the fruit of the Spirit, gentle words, joy, healing, somewhere. So that brings me then to my second point, and I'm going to wrap it up with two things, or three things I want to say here real quick about this, and that is the priority of the inner life. If we face all of these things in life, all kinds of aspects that bombard against our spirits and our inner person, our inner selves, what helps us then to press on? And that's making our inner selves a priority. Sometimes in life, we focus only on the outward, the external. My money, you know, a good house, a nice car, healthy children, all of those things. But we forget how important it is there. So here's the first thing I want you to see. A strong inner spirit helps us when facing the complexities of life. Listen to 18:14. This is the verse that was up on the PowerPoint earlier in the service. The human spirit sustains a sick person, but who can bear a broken spirit? In other words, our inner person, our inner self, is what sustains us when we are not feeling well, when everything is going wrong. But who can keep going if our spirit is broken or crushed? What propels us in life is a strong, vibrant spirit. A strong spirit infused with God's spirit gives us the emotional energy, the passion, the strength that will propel us in life. Now, by contrast, a broken spirit deters us when facing the complexities of life. A broken or crushed spirit is when our fight, you might be saying, how do I know if my spirit is broken or crushed? Well, here. A broken or crushed spirit is when our fight is gone, all hope and expectations are dashed, we have no desire for life, we have little to no joy left in life, and our passion is gone in trying to face life. Now, sometimes we face aspects of those, don't we? But boy, when they're all gone, that's when people give up on life. That's when people want to check out in life. And some of you have probably known somebody that's checked out in life and committed suicide. And that's what we don't want to happen. And here's what I want you to hear. Six times in Scripture, we are told that God is closest to us, the most near to us, when we are broken in spirit and crushed in our hearts. Don't ever forget that. When you are going through something and life has got you down, don't ever forget that God is closest to us when we're hurting the most. Let me move on to the third one there. I started preaching, didn't I? Because I don't know, I was like, I've had two people say something to me about last week's service already, and there's something about when I get this impression to keep pressing. God is something that's wanting to say something. Don't ever give up. Don't let a broken spirit crush you to where you don't want to keep going. So how do we deal with this? Well, here's the third thing here. Prayer strengthens us when facing the complexities of life. Let me reread that Ephesians verse. I ask that God will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his presence. That's what his glory means. From his presence through the Spirit. Paul is praying that all the wonder, all the riches, all the impact that God's presence can make in our lives will strengthen each one of us. Prayer for a strong spirit helps us process, understand, and respond to the external circumstances of life that are weighing us down. As we face the daily complexities of the inner life and the craziness of our circumstances at times, may we be strengthened in our inner selves as we make our inner life a priority. The importance of the inner self. Amen and amen. Well, let's just take a moment there this morning, and you can go ahead and shake a couple of hands and say hi and greet one another in the name of the Lord. And then we'll close out there with our chorus, Jesus, Jesus. Something about that name. Thank you. Appreciate that. And we have a few. Okay, you can go ahead. We'll get us going. If you want to use the hymn books, Jesus, name above all names, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance. One more time, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Let's join together for our benediction. Walk in the light of God's word. May God the Spirit bring us growth. May God the Son tend us with wisdom. And God, the source of all life, bless us with all we need to thrive. Amen. Amen.